This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
So what'd you do then?
So I says to the broad, if I'm going to be the...
Oh, hi there. This is the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 62. So what happened?
So I said, if I'm going to be the one to do it, I'm going to go to youbuynow.com.
This is so lame.
I know I'd go from rags to riches.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode number 62. I'm Josh, and I'm here with Ron.
Hey.
And Connor.
Hello.
And of course, iFanboy.com is the place where we really like comics, and we read a bunch of them, and then we write a Pick of the Week review of the best book that we read that week, and then we come here and talk about it and a lot of other things. So before we get going, I want to warn you, because we like to make sure that people are happy. Maybe we're talking about the books that came out this week, and if you haven't read your books yet, we will in fact ruin them for you. So
guaranteed.
Yeah, and I even
2007. Same rules apply.
Even if you have read the books, we'll ruin them for you.
This is our first 2007.
It is 2007. Ooh. Yeah, we're blazing trails since
it's because we totally cheated last week.
We didn't cheat. We took some time for ourselves.
No.
Me time.
Yeah. Ironically, I think I spent more time last week on
the podcast. It didn't really work out, did
you? Yeah, not so much.
No.
Not so much.
And you had to write the pick of the week.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was like, oh, well.
Too bad. A lot of good books last week.
It was a good book, yeah.
Too bad.
I was mad we didn't do the show. But we did the show. We're doing the show this week.
It's so true. We wrote all about it on the site. So if you didn't hear the show last week, you wanted to know about those, you can go back to last week's pick of the week on the site. You can read. I wrote reviews of everything, and the guys did too, so... Anyway, this week Connor has the pick, so we have a lot to talk about.
He sobered up in time to write the pick this week.
Yeah, thanks.
He still hit me.
Last week was fantastic for books, right? We all agreed that was like
good.
A really solid.
It was like Nirvana.
We wouldn't have had time to do all the books on the show.
This week, very middling, I thought. Very average.
I got about 8 books, and they were, I would say, a little better than average. Not as fantastic.
For me, it was definitely below average. Yeah. I mean, there were some really clunkers in the stack. But this is a strange pick. My pick was Amazing Spider-Man 537. It wasn't because the book was great. It was because this is going to be a short discussion.
His picks always have caveats. He'd be it wasn't the best book I read, but it had a picture of Batman in it.
Yeah.
If this had Batman in it, it would have to be the pick of the week.
Anyway, so...
There was a scene in the middle of this book where Captain America and Spider-Man are meeting on a roof, and Captain America illuminates why he won't back down in this war.
Yep.
And I honestly...
This war being the Civil War.
And I honestly got goosebumps at the end of it.
Yeah.
Captain America's always been my favorite Marvel character. I don't know why. Just historically speaking, that's the way it's been. And I think this scene really illuminated why. mean, he is the pillar in the Marvel. I mean, I think you would agree he's the pillar in the Marvel universe. He's
the heart.
He's the heart.
No, well, Peter Parker's the heart. He's the pride of the Marvel universe.
He's the one they all look to for leadership. Yes, right. Like, he's the sort of the Superman in that.
He stood up to Thanos.
One of the all-time great moments in Marvel Comics.
Yes, agreed.
But this is all based on a scene which really is, he didn't even write it. It's him quoting Mark Twain.
Some would say plagiarizing for several pages.
I don't want to get across because it was great, but I've always had a problem in fiction works like comics or in books or anything or in movies when people start quoting some previous thing.
Right.
I'm fairly well read. I'm college educated. I don't have this long of a passage memorized. And maybe I haven't found something that's resonated with me yet. But the people who just quote like lines of Shakespeare and shit like that, like,
I would hope
this doesn't happen.
I would hope that Captain America has a little more. What's the word I want to look for? I don't know what the word is.
Moral fortitude. Not lazy ass.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't want you. I don't want you to relate to Captain America.
So you have me quoting Mark Twain on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, like, you were the guy in the suit trying to make the whole country feel patriotic. Yeah. We'd be in trouble.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
But really, the best part of the speech the last page, which is the full page shot of Cap. And that's all. That's all. Not quote.
Yes.
And that was to be the best.
He stands on a box in front of Peter.
Yes.
Yeah.
it looks like some sort of threat in prison is what that.
We have to ruin the moment.
Sorry.
But really, this. I mean, he says, you know, even if everyone is against you, the press, the public, the government, if you believe something strongly enough, you should stand your ground. Yep. And never move. And that really got to me. That's
unless you're a whack job.
That's the reason why.
And Spider-Man's reaction was great.
Spider-Man's reaction was fantastic, which is basically the reaction
the
I would have had.
The pause with no dialogue. And then, can I carry your books to school?
That was a very Ron.
You know what? I heard Ron in my head for this.
Really?
It was a very Ron reaction.
It was like a fake schoolgirl crush thing, which is kind of your milieu.
Nice.
Well, the rest of the issue couldn't have cared less. I mean, I didn't care about any of the intrigue, the whole thing with Kingpin putting a hit out on
him. What was nice about this was they set this up previously because there was the other issues about how much Peter Parker respects Captain America.
Yes,
which was the part of this arc, the Ace Man and Spider-Man arc.
But I don't care about that somebody's going to try to kill May and Mary Jane. I don't care if they live or die.
It would be great if they kill Mary Jane, then Quesada gets his way now that this is how they're going to off Mary Jane by getting assassinated.
Now, the Kingpin didn't escape. In Daredevil?
I don't remember.
He did get out. Remember, they got in the helicopter.
No, Frank and Daredevil got out of the helicopter. He didn't escape. Remember, Daredevil took him out. Remember, he took out him in Bullseye.
Right.
Yeah, so he's still in prison. Here's my question. The scene on the cover...
Didn't happen.
Yeah, when did that happen?
Hey, I got you a different one. When did this happen?
That's
because
very,
I read Civil War, and I don't know when this would have happened.
That's been the biggest problem with Spider-Man.
This probably happened before. No. Yeah, you're right. This doesn't fit at all.
No,
because if we look at chronologically, he fights Tony, and then he gets his ass kicked and by the Pumpkinhead guy,
and Punisher kills him,
carries him to Cap's hideout, and then it seems like they go right into Civil War number 6. Came out this week as well. It just doesn't quite fit. And
the suit doesn't quite fit.
Like, when does he have this time to escape to the motel in Jersey, I guess, wherever this is?
Right. And, of course, it's in Jersey. But regardless of all that, the two pages of Human Torch trying to get in touch with them and leaving the flaming message was awesome. That was so, and probably you guys didn't feel as great
about
it.
Well, because they have the whole torch, Marvel, the whole torch
exactly.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Can I mention that never before has one picture of Johnny Cash upset me so much?
Now, let's talk about
here's
that.
Here's the funny thing is that Connor called me and said, we hung out last night, and he said, you're not going to be happy this week. I'm like, why? He's like, cardboard insert in every issue of Marvel. And I'm like, oh, crap. And I got my books, I flipped open, and I saw his e-music, and I forgot.
You like e-music?
I like e-music, so I forgive him.
Through the staple.
Yeah.
It's through
the
staple.
You can't take them out.
Yeah, it's through the staple of Civil War 6. Yeah. If there was ever a book that people, sort of justifiably wanted to keep.
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to read it, and it's holding my page up.
I'm kind of rooting for your music, so I was torn. I was frustrated, but I was torn. Yeah.
So the lesson learned is you hate the insert unless it's something you like.
Well, yeah. Then that's
probably you are not Captain
by the way,
America.
I know we have totally done this to death.
Yeah.
But did you guys see the ads for Marvel Cologne?
No, I didn't. I ignore
the
ads.
On one page,
there's Marvel Edibles.
Yeah.
And it's little.
Although I
figures
kinda,
that you
I
can
kinda
eat,
want
and I flip the page, and there is Marvel Eau de Toilette, and there's Hulk scent,
holy shit,
and Spider-Man scent,
yeah,
and
is.
Captain America scent.
Connor's going to get Captain America scent. I kind of want the Amazing Spider-Man Etch-A-Sketch on the magnetic drawing board.
They have.
What does
it
even
smell
like?
What does Hulk smell like?
Oh, I don't
it smells
think
like
it smells
rage.
Good.
It smells like sweaty man rage.
So basically, this got the pick of the week because you liked the page in it.
Because I liked three pages in
and
middle. But you know what? Because it caused such a reaction to me that it was physical.
An emotional reaction.
And the other books were kind of good.
And let's take a moment that Ron Garney was Ron born Garney to draw Captain America.
As I mentioned in the review, he did a classic run with Mark Waid in the 90s.
Which was awesome.
And he does Cap great. He's a great Cap artist. And Cap looked really good in the book.
Do you really think that J. Michael Straczynski should be writing Captain America if Brubaker wasn't doing it?
No.
Yes.
I haven't said this, by the way, since I said it on the site, but the two of the books that Connor gave me on our gift exchange were the two Brubaker Captain America books. They were awesome.
Yeah, I need
to
know.
I'm not telling you that those were the best books
I've read. The best book nobody's reading, really.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
And that made me fall in love with Captain America in a way that I love Captain America, especially during that Wade run.
You know what's funny is he's like, if you think about it, if you step back objectively, if he came out now, look at the cheesiest character in comics.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. Totally cheesy. It's the fact that it's what they've made him into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they had introduced him today, you'd be like, what the? He's wearing a flag.
Well, you'd think it was some weird jingoism thing.
But about, I love that word. Jingoism.
I love it.
But the thing about JMS is don't let him fool you.
I know. It goes
like
a few issues.
One issue is like, oh wow, he should be doing this. 18 issues later, when nothing's happened, then you're gonna want him off the book.
No, I understand.
Yeah, trust me.
Do you think that he draws the shield a little small? That's totally nitpick. I just was looking at the page. And I was like, it feels really small. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That one gets the pick for the physical reaction.
I was surprised that you didn't pick Civil War #6. I thought you were going to because of the sheer event magnitude of it, as well as some of the individual moments of it.
I liked this book more than the two of you. I think I really enjoyed it. I thought this was like a return to the early part of the series where it was exciting.
Yeah, well, because something happened finally, and basically Civil War #6 is that we've got. You know, Punisher is now on the side of the Angels, or
maybe depending which book you're reading.
Yeah, exactly. And he helps them.
Also, by the way, if you're on the West Coast and you haven't read this book, we're sorry.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. If you're on the West Coast, we apologize and stop if you want it to be ruined. I don't want to ruin this.
I don't want to either, but I do want to talk about it because I have some fresh.
Yeah, the West Coast had delivery issues with Civil War.
Yeah, but so essentially, Cap and his team launched their plan seemingly moments before Iron Man was about to launch their plan.
Wanted to like this, and I started off really liking it, but the more I went through it, like, the more I just felt it was so rushed. I felt like they was like, we need to hit all of these plot points, and we need to squeeze everybody into the ability to do it, and I just felt like we were pounding through it, the story, but in that sense, the story did not feel organic.
Right.
I felt like it was rushing through. I didn't even understand what happened when the two villains got shot.
Well, the thing is that...
I thought that page was not well laid out.
Let's talk about that, and now we're going to spoil it. But essentially what happens is that the Captain America's team is planning, and then Diamondback, for some reason, decides to say, oh, and by the way, and bring out two villains who... I'm a Marvel guy, and I've heard Plunderer, but I've never seen the other one.
Yeah.
Whoever, what the other guy's name was.
Goldbug?
Yeah.
And sounds like a wonderful powder.
She brings out two villains, which are hysterical in that saying, hey guys, we've got this invested in what Iron Man's doing as well. Let's join up. Mm-hmm. And then Punisher just blows them away and turns and goes, what? And then Cap smashes them in the face and they fight. Mm-hmm. That page, when not that I didn't know what happened, but I had to read it. I read it like two or three times in a row. I was just like, did that just happen? Like, I didn't believe that it happened, and it made me laugh out loud.
I didn't believe it. It started to the point where, like, I believe Captain America's reaction, but I didn't believe the events leading up to it, which invalidates that.
Yeah.
I don't believe they let him carry his Uzis
in the off. I mean, I mean, the thing is, if I also, just as a general conceit, I do not believe that any of these people on either side would have the villains working for them. I'm looking at this huge spread.
It would draw the line.
I'm looking at this huge spread with Venom, Bullseye, and Taskmaster with Iron Man. I'm just going, no.
Well, no, look at what so what happens is that Captain America and team break in. They're going to break into the prison and free everybody.
Mm-hmm. Prison break.
And they have, Iron Man's side has Tigra on Captain America's team as a mole.
Right.
And so Iron Man knows, and so they're ready. So when Captain America and team jump out, Iron Man and team are there waiting for him, and Iron Man actually says, which I couldn't believe it, you've just walked into another trap, Captain. Earth's Mightiest Heroes plus Earth's Mightiest Villains. They would not be proud of that.
Right.
Like, that's not something, like, you know, like...
And he called him Captain.
Right, yeah, but...
I mean, that's totally a nitpick. It did not feel right.
See, now the thing is, I could see them saying, we've rehabilitated Earth's Mightiest Villains, but everybody knows Venom and Bullseye are not rehabilitating. You know that they're, you know, it's like, I agree with that. It's, you know, but, and then the twist that Cap side had them all with Hulkling posing as Hank felt just so forced.
Totally, it was a Scooby-Doo moment.
Yeah, it was like, we know you had them all, and we had them all.
And they pull his mask off, but I'm thinking, like, listen... I know the guy's a shapeshifter or whatever. Yeah. Tony Stark and Reed Richards are on that team. They got scanners. They got something. It was so forced and quick. And like I'm looking at this and I just see Bullseye and Venom, and they just don't fit to me.
Like, see now it's funny is that after I read it, I said that I felt as if this was like 60% good, 40% bad. Mm-hmm. Like. By the end of it, though, that squaring off, I was just like, yeah, I was all in it. But at moments in the book, I was like, oh. So I was like roller coastering.
For me, it's almost like at this point, Civil War is so divorced now from what they said it was going to be to start off. It's not something you can follow just by itself. I think if you did, you'd be really disappointed. All of the heart and the details in the other books.
Well, what was it? We were talking about Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. On a side note, we were saying earlier, how much less enjoyable would this be without the Wolverine tie-in?
Yeah, sure.
We've just been over now for a couple of months.
There's so much going on in Wolverine.
That's somewhere deep, yeah.
But I think if you look at this, just this is the action movie standpoint, this was an exciting issue.
Yeah, it was. And
I can understand that, but it just didn't feel right to me.
But here's one thing that'll make you feel
the
better.
The villain thing is the biggest mistake.
We're one more issue from it being over.
Thank Christ.
And if they just keep throwing bodies on this book like they are, did you see the front page, the number of people on the credits?
Yeah.
It's just like, put colorists on. Color.
Speaking to that.
Special thanks to Laura Martin, Dave McKay. I mean, there's like six extra people on this book.
Speaking to that, though, did you guys feel like this was not McNiven's best effort?
I liked it a lot.
Did you? I remember reading some of the New Avengers issues he did and looking at
it. Well, those are completely different. He was on another level with the New Avengers.
That's what I want to see.
I thought the last two issues were so bad that this was better than the last two issues.
I just felt like there were a lot of pin-up pages. If you can see, there's no backgrounds in a lot of these. I know because they're in this bunker or whatever, but like, I don't know. The two-page square-off thing... I don't know. Maybe I just don't get off on pinups anymore in the same way.
Yeah. I don't know. I just get excited.
And then the page when Sue is talking to Namor and he comes at her crotch first.
Yeah.
I was like,
when he touches her mask. Yeah. Like on the lip. Yeah, that was.
Like he sort of stands in front of her and he's thrusting his giant pelvis at her.
Namor does. Namor's right behind Black Bolt, I think.
I'm not saying it's that character or anything. I'm just looking at it. I felt a little.
He's also like, looking at his crotch.
Yeah. It's magnificent.
Check it out.
I would expect him to kind of rub as he's talking to him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like, you know, I wouldn't put that past him.
He's totally in his, like, John Holmes robe, though. Like, it's.
So Civil War 6 are one issue away. We're also one issue away from the culmination of Civil War Frontline.
Which, Josh, you didn't even bother with.
I dropped it. After the last issue, if you were listening to the podcast, I was just so angry with it. And I did want to know what happened, but I was like, I can't keep buying it.
This issue, in some ways, was worse than the last issue.
You know why this issue was so bad?
You say why you think, and I'll say why I think.
Because the main story with Urich and Sally Bialke was...
At least you remember her name.
Was a huge cock tease.
Yes.
There was literally 8 pages where, Ben, I know why. Ben goes, I know why too. Oh, wait, let's go on to the next panel. Why? Wait, let's get to the next panel.
He's not exaggerating.
And it ends with Ben Ure saying, I think I know the reasons behind the Civil War. To be concluded.
It was literally the entire story was them talking to each other on cell phones, saying, I think I know the reason behind the war. Me too. I know the reason. Let's go meet somewhere and do it. And then a fight breaks out. Ooh, let's run from the fight. But I think I know the reason. We'll run to the fight. Oh, there's another fight over here. Let's get away.
I figured it out. Yeah.
It's literally, that is the main story.
And I'm so glad I didn't buy it.
And apparently the fight at the end of Civil War 6 is now happening in this issue in Times Square. Mm. And which doesn't,
what?
Like... Yeah, like, look, Daredevil and Venom are fighting in Times Square. Which you would assume, because Daredevil was in prison, so he must have been broken out in issue 6.
Or is that Iron Fist?
No, it is Iron Fist. No, but so, like,
I didn't even read the rest of it.
And then...
I'm at the point now where I'm not... I didn't read the Speedball stuff. I didn't read any of
that. The Speedball stuff looked pretty. Lieber did a great job.
Yeah, it looks good.
Here's the issue. The Mystery Thunderbolt penance is Speedball.
Who has a costume. I don't know what that means, but...
The guy
on the cover?
Yeah, the guy on the cover.
He's part of the Thunderbolts.
What he did was he had a costume designed with 600 little spikes digging in on the inside of the costume.
So he feels guilty about it now?
Yes. And this is his penance.
Why did that happen?
I don't
Because he was resolutely not guilty. I did the right thing.
And now he feels guilty.
There's a movie. I'm thinking of...
Do the Right Thing.
No, I'm thinking of A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
A Few Good Men at the very end when the one blonde guy is going... Yeah. It's like, well, we just followed. We didn't do anything wrong. What's happening? Yeah. And he was like that the whole time. I don't understand what happened to make him change.
Yeah. What happened was that was a terrible story.
Yeah. It was frontline, great idea, fails in the execution.
I cannot wait for this series
to be over. I know. Tell me one more issue.
The thing is, though, I'm not going to buy half as many books as I bought before once it's over.
Which is great. Yeah. So the saving. Think of the savings.
It's just beautiful.
Your allowance, so to speak.
Let's go to the other...
The other event.
Event book 52.
There was one other thing that we were talking about in terms of Civil War that I wanted to bring up, which is interesting. Why can't these books all work together?
You see, that's something that I've been bitching about for years, and I know that I get slammed on for being the continuity nut.
I don't so much mind it day to day, or like when the books don't really have anything to do with each other.
But it's an event that's supposed to all be together.
What I think the Marvel universe needs, what I think Marvel editorial needs, and they probably have this, and they're saying, you don't know what it's like, and da-da-da, you know, like, whatever. But my advice to them would be to have one person or a team in charge of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And each month, based on the production schedules and what's going on in that book, they can track where those characters are and what's going on.
Yeah.
And what the look is, what the art is. Because, like, Punisher War Journal, that came out this week, but also, and I hated the art, but whatever, also told the Punisher Cap fight. But it was different villains. It looked different. There was different dialogue. That shouldn't happen. If you're going to have the same event chronicled in the issue, it should match up.
And listen, I get that it's hard.
Right. Right. Yeah, me
too. You're Marvel Comics.
Right.
If anybody's going to do it, you should be able to do it.
That was the thing that made Marvel Comics great from 1961 until 1989. Honestly?
Yeah.
Because you could open a book and Spider-Man can see the X-Men fly over and be like, oh, where are they going? Someone's like, oh, they're on their way to Asgard for the Asgard Wars.
Right.
You know? And it's just like, oh, yeah, you're right. I just read that. And you got excited.
And that led me to read so many books.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I would, the asterisk, go see Fantastic Four. I'd be like, I do want to know what's happening in Fantastic Four. And that's how I actually started reading other titles. It sounds like a broken record. Every time a Civil War book comes out, we're watching the same scene. It's not a different take on a different scene. Everything's different.
Do you remember
Spider-Man?
Yeah, the Iron Man reveal. No, remember the Iron Man reveal when he revealed that he was Tony Stark, and then that morning he was Tony Stark in New York. It was all over the place. And the thing is,
He's out of the suit.
I get a little disappointed every time that happens.
And the excuse that I've heard is, well, Tom Breford's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, well. Hire a college intern.
You are Marvel Comics.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the best at this.
Exactly. Hire us. We'll do it.
I would love,
if continuity was my
You'd be like, people would see your name on the caller ID.
Yeah.
And maybe they wouldn't answer. Oh, no. God, it's him again.
Wait a minute. You have Thor in LA with the West Coast and Avengers when he's in New York with Cap.
The writer's just going, I don't care.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because that's the thing. Because honestly, the writers are a little bit of prima donnas where they say they don't care. And the thing is that, to me as a reader, that's an important facet of the Marvel Universe. Not so much with DC. DC, I'll let get away with it. I don't know why.
It is when you're following this unified story.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I've totally gone off base.
No, but it was good. Good
talk. Valid point.
So 52...
52 opens grisly.
Opens awesomely, I thought. It was really
It's awesome. Yeah, awesomely grisly.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was great. I didn't expect that.
At the end of the last issue, the clock strikes midnight on New Year's, and Lex Luthor hits a button, and all of his genetically engineered superheroes fall from the sky.
Except Infinity Inc.
Right.
Now, why?
That was a bad move. Because now they're like, well, you left your superheroes working? Come on.
Right.
It makes it obvious.
Yeah. Because he wanted to draw Superman out.
Yeah. I know why he did it. I just mean.
Yeah. So is Supernova Superman? No, he's
not. No, Superman has no powers.
So who is Supernova?
No one knows.
You know.
I do know.
Tell me. You do know. Tell me who.
Thor.
It's a clone, though.
It's Clore.
Clore.
I hate Clore.
No, I thought it was a good issue. I mean, nothing, you know.
Good art.
Very good.
Jimenez and
And someone else. Good.
Dan Jurgens.
That's it.
Yeah.
There was no history. There's no character backup in this
one. Oh my God!
I was very sad about that. But
Booster Gold action figure looks awesome.
The good thing about this is that there was some payoff to the we bitched for a long time about the steel story. You know what?
Yeah. It's starting to pay off.
It is starting to pay off, and I don't mind this storyline anymore.
I don't cringe when they show up on the page.
I don't understand why Lex gave Steel powers and then took him away. I don't understand why he would do that. To show he could?
I think one of the things that you can get away with Lex Luthor is that he's egotistical.
Yeah.
And so he does things that maybe undermine him because he thinks he's unbeatable. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
That's my justification for it.
Yeah.
But you know, this is a big, good story point that I like to see.
Yeah.
You know, and people got hurt, and there was consequences, and
yeah,
I liked the you just vaporized all those bystanders.
Yeah.
That she said to Supernova when he saved the crowd, basically.
Yeah, that was. I mean, this is actually paying off 52 story wise, as opposed to. I mean, I hate to keep comparing them, but 52 is paying off in terms of a cohesive story.
Agreed. Yeah. Absolutely agreed. 100% agreed.
I really liked seeing Plastic Man and his son for some reason. I've forgotten that Offspring existed.
Right, yeah. He came out of the Kingdom?
The Kingdom. Yeah. There was the five one-shots.
I remember that.
A long time ago. And most of them weren't good.
I recall that.
I didn't even buy those.
But, you know, this was a really good one that something happened in. And then I'm not entirely sure what happened with Lobo at the end.
No, I thought maybe he's going to double-cross them. Who knows?
But I like that Animal Man found a way to get some powers, and basically, you know, it's good. You know, each week is a B book, and it's one of the good things to sort of breed. And
yeah, definitely, it's dependable. So.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Real quick, I just want to talk about Uncanny X-Men number 42, because I love me the Uncanny.
Big Sword comics.
If you see on the cover, I know neither of you guys read it. You dropped it. Whatever.
Yeah,
both
dropped.
Starjammers.
Wow, I don't even know what that means.
I feel like you would like the Starjammers.
Are they like space pirates?
Pretty much.
And so you could tell by looking at them and hearing the name.
Yeah. And
plus they have those swords.
And there's cutlasses. And honestly, no Shi'ar space-based X-Men adventure is complete without the Starjammers. And so it's great to see them come in the fold.
That really feels like some 70s era, like Jim Starlin kind of stuff.
Well, no, it's Claremont Fern. Right. I mean, that was it. But like, it definitely feels like that again. I mean, like the big balloon lettering Starjammers. You know, like it's like yeah, and stuff happened in this issue. And it's just, I mean, and the thing is that I mean, I know we're hot for Brubaker these days, but like I still think he's delivering the goods.
You're still enjoying that book?
I'm still loving it.
Has it been up and down? Or?
No, for me it's been consistent. I've enjoyed it, and it was one of the first three books I read this week. I read Civil War.
Do you
War,
think that 52. You're a little bit like a starving dog?
A little bit.
I mean, like you've been left in the pen with no food for a long time,
and now you've got like a little bit of meat, and it's just like, oh yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I can feel that. I can feel that. So,
because I mean, I tried to read it, and you know,
No, but it's for me. As an X-Men fan, like as knowing the history and everything, like I'm eating it up. Like he's doing it right.
I think for me there was a variety of things. Like I didn't really like the art. I didn't really like the characters he chose. I didn't really like them in space.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I didn't think it was bad.
Right.
No, I just didn't care.
Yeah, so. That was it. Basically,
it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't for me. Love it. All
right. I'm gonna go get a drink while you guys do this next. Oh,
you know what was for me, and I think it may have been for Connor too. Jonah Hex 15.
Yes.
Have you totally come around on the art now for this?
Yeah, I totally like the art now.
Jordy Brunet? Fantastic. I mean, really, like, totally.
This is the conclusion to the three-part Jonah Hex origin story.
And this basically, there was a couple of nice things about it. Once you see what happened to his face.
Yeah.
Which really wasn't all that exciting. But
no, but it probably hurt like hell.
Yeah, it did. Probably hurt like a bitch. But he takes out a whole bunch of white people with some Indians.
Yeah,
Because they killed.
They wiped out the tribe who raised him. The Apaches, yeah.
And then he wants nothing for it at the end. And normally he's only concerned with my money, my gold, my whatever.
This is about pride.
There's a really funny sort of. There's another big giant Indian brave who he's apparently friends with, and all they do is insult each other. And those kind of relationships between characters are always fun.
Right. But, if they're done well, yeah.
But then you find out, you sort of learn over time that they actually have a lot of affection for each other. But at first you wonder if they're going to be enemies too. The book that Ron gave me in the gift
showcase.
Off. Yeah, the showcase. I haven't read the whole thing because it's gigantic, but I read the first part of it, and I'll be honest, I was a little worried. I was
like, it'd be too like trite? Or
I thought, no, I thought it would just be silly. Cause
was it the 670s?
The earliest one is from 1972. It goes mostly through the 70s, and I read the first issue.
It's next on my list to read.
It was sort of grisly. A lot of people were shot and killed, and
you can get away with some stuff, oddly enough, in the 70s.
Yeah, you could, and so like it was. I was like, oh.
I
thought that maybe this Jonah Hex book was the one that was like, now we're going to show how he maybe really was. Yeah. No, that one, he killed a lot of people too. Like, he was heartless and cold and like it was.
I love Jonah Hex.
Yeah, I really like.
I'm glad it wasn't too light.
The character. I love Jonah Hex.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's totally a lot of fun.
The next one is somewhat related. It's Scalped number one. It's from Vertigo. Josh and I both picked it up. The writer is Jason Aaron, who wrote. The other side,
which is a Vertigo series on Vietnam that came out a few months ago.
What happened in the store when I was shopping? And I was like, I walked by it. I go, Scout number one. I'm like, what is that? Guy goes, oh, it's a book about Indians. Like, oh, you can have it. I just walked away.
Oh, he's done it again.
Well, no, it wasn't about it. Obviously.
What did you think it was going to be about? Called Scalped.
I didn't know. I thought it could be about a ticket scalper.
There's a picture of an Indian on the front.
I didn't see the cover.
He wasn't.
Yeah, I was looking at the shipping list. Okay. It could be about a ticket scalper. That's a good story. Josh, you should write that about a ticket scalper.
Every time someone comes to pitch, like, Josh, write that, do that. What if, I'm like the studio writer guy. Okay, boss.
The 50s contract writer.
.org.
All right, so this is this. You didn't like The Other Side, right?
I didn't, because it...
Is that the Vietnam one?
It was, and I read the first two or three issues, and... I don't know if it was bad, but it was...
Well, you don't
like
Vietnam, so...
No, but like...
It was a quagmire.
I just felt like it wasn't saying anything that I hadn't heard a lot before.
Yeah.
The guy's like the great nephew of the guy who wrote Full Metal Jacket, or the book that Full Metal Jacket was based on. And it was just felt like it was living in that milieu. It was a lot of tough talking and stuff. And I didn't like it.
Scalped has been described as Sopranos in an Indian reservation, sort of.
Is it that?
Somewhat. It's basically. There's a crime boss. You know, he runs the casino. He's also like the mayor. And
it's now.
Yeah, it's now.
So it's like a Mohegan Sun.
No, it's now. They're on the reservation.
Yes, it is.
It's at Foxwoods.
It's sort of. And you know, he runs the town. He does all. You know, he's corrupt. He's got a little army of enforcers. He's also the sheriff.
I'm fighting really hard not to sing the Foxwoods songs.
It's not going to mean anything.
Provincial.
To
he's talking provincial
about
jokes.
He's talking about a regional Indian casino in Connecticut, and he thinks that everybody had the same experience as he does.
Anyway, go on.
And this, you know, wayward Indian comes back to the reservation and he's causing trouble and he's a tough, he carries nunchucks for some reason and joins up with the fat cat, Tony Soprano Indian guy, and at the end it's revealed he is actually an FBI undercover agent.
Oh.
I liked it. Josh and I violently disagreed on this book.
I really didn't like it. At first, I was like, that sounds like a good idea, but I knew going into it, I didn't really like The Other Side. I didn't like the voice of the writer, for whatever reason. I'm not even going to say it's bad. It wasn't for me. But I thought, all right, I'll give this a try, because it sounds like a good pitch. And I can tell you, that's got to be how he got this book. He went in and he was like, I want to do an Indian reservation, and there's a crime, and then people are going, that sounds just like Vertigo, it's exactly our thing. But when you get into it, it's a lot of, like, tough talking and cool swearing, and I really felt like the Indian thing was an overlay. Like it could have just as well been Chinese mafia or Greek mafia or wherever else. And there's just some
formulaic.
It felt very formulaic to me,
which is what I liked. I mean, the aspect of it is
I like that formula.
I do like the formula. That's what we were talking about. You give allowances for mafia stories. I give allowances for westerns, and I have a lot of affinity for Western-based stories. And
somebody asked about mafia books. This is a form of mafia book.
Yeah.
There was all, you know, I thought a couple others. I mean, 100 Bullets is in a way. What this felt like to me was a slightly poor version of 100 Bullets. In tone, it was very similar in that art was kind of muddy and it was kind of unclear exactly what was happening from frame to frame because they were going for style rather than... And then, like, basically the story is that the guy who's the badass who's come back to town and pissed off his mom, he's actually an undercover FBI agent. And I was like, great, it's Donnie Brasco. It's a billion things I've seen before. There was nothing original in this other than the idea that it was Indians. But even the Indian thing, I just felt like an overlay. It was like, well, how do we paint this? We paint this with the Indian brush. And there you go. I mean, some people out there might like it.
If that's your thing, you kind of like it. So.
We'll see. I mean, I'm interested enough to read the next issue. And we'll see what happens after that.
I'm just not liking anything this week, am I?
Well, one thing that you might like is I just briefly want to bring up Fantastic Four: The End, issue number.
So it's over now.
Number 4 of 6.
This is the series
that's telling the end of the Fantastic Four, and basically we're like in the middle of it. And as far as I don't really know what's going on.
Who's doing it?
I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
I don't really know what's going on. But what it seems is if all their enemies are just kind of converging, as typically happens in these books. We got Super Skrull, Annihilus, the Kree, the Skrulls, all this kind of stuff. But Alan Davis is writing and drawing it, and along with Ron Garney, I love Alan Davis. And there's a Toxplode.
Ooh.
Yeah. Black Bolt.
You know what though? That's I don't need to see it too much.
Yeah, no. It's not a huge Toxplode. It's a subtle Toxplode. He takes out a Kree Sentry.
Does
robot.
He say duckies?
No, he doesn't say duckies, unfortunately. But
that's the funniest thing I've read on the site. You'll have to go there to understand it.
What's great is that I'm having a little bit of a Fantastic Four renaissance. And it's funny because I was talking to the guy in my comic book store about the Fantastic Four, and we were saying how you don't really know a lot. I personally don't know a lot of Fantastic Four fans. Do you know anybody who's like, who's
I know two.
Right, but who are as big as like Batman and X-Men like we are and that whole thing? Who are like adamant about the Fantastic Four?
I don't know any. I know so. At least one.
All right, cool. Well,
like that.
What we're saying is that there probably aren't a lot. And I was just like, yeah, it's the kind of thing you always depend on. For Christmas, I happened to got the Fantastic Four Omnibus, the big hardcover of the first 40 issues.
Really? Did you ask for that?
Yes, I did, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I asked for Absolute DC, New Frontier, Fantastic Four, and the Uncanny X-Men Volume 1 Omnibus. I'll get to those in a moment.
Okay.
I got the Fantastic Four Omnibus. That was the one I wanted least, but honestly, I'm like 13 issues in, and it is awesome.
Really?
It is.
This is the original Kirby Lee.
Like, it's so, like, and when I'm done, you guys have to read this.
I would love to.
Because it's amazing, and what's also awesome is that they include the letters pages from the original books.
Wow.
Which are just freaking so much fun to read, because... No joke, issue number 6 letters were like, I love your comic. I think it should be a movie. Here's who should play Mr. Fantastic. Troy Donahue should play Johnny Storm. Like, literally, the same conversations we're having now, they had in the letters pages in 1962.
That's funny.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And so I was just like, God damn, this is awesome. And I was just loving it. I was totally thinking that it was, like, you know, like, as much as we love the Omnibus and the Absolutes for the newer comics, for the older comics, I was like, this is fantastic.
It's a great way to read those old comics.
Yeah, it really is.
It's one of those things where you always hear about the great classic stories, and sometimes you go back and read them, and they're...
These hold up.
They're dated. Really?
I mean, admittedly, it's kind of hokey. They explain the origin in the first three pages of every issue.
The dialogue's kind of hard sometimes.
No,
Well, you take it into account, just like when you're watching a movie from the 40s.
Right. Well, what I love is that the fact that Fantastic Four was considered a family, and they were always flawed, and they're in the beginning, they really, like, all they did was argue. And, like, in the third or fourth issue, like, they all, in the first six issues, they all, at one point, except for Mr. Fantastic, quit. Because they've had it with the other people. And at one point, Sue was just like, can we please just stop arguing? Like, it's just like...
Funny.
But what's funny is that in the letters, people are like, I love this comic. They fight. The other heroes don't fight amongst one another. And, like, the people at the time realized, were aware of why it was so special. And I thought that was just really fascinating from a historical standpoint.
Yeah.
And the stories totally hold up. Admittedly, there's a little hokiness, but, like, the Puppet Master story was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in, like the I mean, like, Dr. Doom stories
It's funny. It's really
amazing.
Easy to make fun of Stan Lee now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the guy...
Yeah.
Him and Kirby.
Yeah.
I don't want to give one to the other. But, like, really, these dynamics were revolutionary as far as these kind of storytelling techniques went. Not even just comics, because I would say in movies and TV and whatever of the time, those weren't realistic either. And if he's got, like, a family fighting, that's what families do.
Yeah, it was great. So that led to saying, okay, well, we finished Christmas, now we can purchase things for ourselves.
Embargo was over.
There was somebody who asked about it.
Yeah,
we had the embargo from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
No purchase.
You're not allowed to buy anything in case somebody gets you. You don't want to double up.
Yeah, or you don't want to get something that somebody could get you, steal a
gift.
Because we're so hard to shop for as it is. But I didn't get DC Absolute the New Frontier. So Amazon ordered it. Love it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like possibly the best Absolute I've gotten yet.
It's really beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
I never read it the first time through, so Connor's lending me his.
Every page looks... I haven't even read it yet. I just opened it up and I flipped through the pages.
Did you read it? I read an issue.
But I just flipped through the pages.
Great.
It just looks
oversized.
How many issues was it?
Four thick ones?
Yeah, they were the thicky ones. I think that's why you didn't get it. They were expensive.
Yeah, they were much.
Yeah, there might have been five or six, actually.
Maybe six.
Well, that book looks pretty big for
four
issues. Thick.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of extras.
There's a little bit, but not a lot. There's some sketchbook stuff.
But it's awesome Darwin Cook. Amazing, Silver Agey. But it just...
The thing is, it's not a retelling.
No,
it's not. It's a true Elseworlds book. It's setting all these characters in the... Age of
Silver Age
reemergence.
When America was coming from the '50s to the '60s and turmoil
at the time when that stuff was actually happening.
But it's not retelling those stories. It's putting all the characters into that time.
And it's also in realistic chronologically in like real world. Like when stuff is happening in the real world, it's happening in the book, which is really smart.
Yeah.
And what's cool is
Darwin's art looks great, oversized.
You get the return of Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. You get Barry Allen as Flash, Hal Jordan as Green Lantern, John Jones as Martian Manhunter. It's a great telling of DC.
Mm-hmm.
DC history, but not in a way that you need to know the history.
Because it's not. It's a new history.
Yeah. So then that led to me finally deciding that I really need the X-Men on the bus Volume 1, the Uncanny X-Men. And now previously, when it came out, I spurned it.
You were very adamant against it.
I said no. The reason why is because I want these in issues, and I'm like, I'm not going to buy the issues and then also buy this book, this reprinting.
Apparently you are.
And I was really mad that they started Uncanny Omnibus Volume 1 with Giant Size X-Men right smack dab in the middle of the run. Why didn't they start with X-Men 1 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby? Like, those are the reprints I really want, and I want those in Omnibus format. But so I was like, no, after reading the Fantastic Four Omnibus, I'm like, all right, I need that. Sadly, it came out in May. You can't find it online at all. Amazon can't find it. There's like two on eBay. All the stores I couldn't find.
No comic store. No comic store.
Yeah, we went all around. Yeah, exactly. Oddly enough, BarnesandNoble.com. Tons in stock. And I got one not as discounted as I could have through Amazon. I ended up paying like $70 for it. But it was, and I haven't, I just got it the other day, but flipping through it, it's so cool to see that John Bernard oversized. Mm-hmm. Big problem, though. It starts at Giant Size X-Men number one, and the first 40 issues from that, the 40th issue that it ends is in the middle of the Dark Phoenix saga. Like, literally the middle.
Well, you don't need the other ones.
Yeah, no, exactly. We don't need the actual.
How stupid is that?
It was just like, just finish the freaking arc.
Like, you got the biggest arc in the history of the
X-Men. Buckley!
Yeah. And you stop in the middle of it?
Exactly, exactly.
That was to Dan Buckley, publisher of Marvel, who's
pissed
responsible for that.
So
that's ridiculous. That's,
you know, I actually went to go buy some. I had some gift certificates and things like that. I still have $50 to Midtown. I cannot figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
I tried to find Absolute Dark Knight, which has inexplicably lost its discount everywhere.
I'll sell you mine for $200.
As did the Sandman Absolute.
My store has it.
They're in stock, but they're not discounted anymore on Amazon.
My store's not discounting it. Yeah,
it's $75 on Amazon. Yeah. Now they're all $95.
Like, I could buy it at Midtown, but I would pay $50 for it. Whereas 2 weeks ago, I could have gotten it for $65 total. You know, like,
it doesn't work. Yeah,
no. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. Because that didn't come out that long ago.
No, it was like
New Frontier's still discounted.
Yeah, New Frontier just came out though.
But a lot of the older ones are before
Dark Knight was older.
Yeah, Dark Knight was summer.
That makes sense. It must be running out.
Dark Knight only came out in November.
No,
Dark Knight was one of the first ones.
Yeah, Dark Knight. I remember looking at it for months, going, "Ooh, I want that."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
New Frontier and Sandman are the last two that came
most
out.
Recent, yeah.
So, Dark Knight was.
Anyway, the love affair with the hardcovers just continues, and I'm scared.
I don't have any room.
I don't have any money.
I have them stacked on top of my printer.
Yeah, they're stacked on my kitchen table.
My way, I got the Calvin Hobbes book.
Oh, you did?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
that's what I decided to go for because
that's good.
It's not comics. That's comics.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I want in the library.
That's a classic.
Want to make sure I have that when I have kids someday.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
You want them to read
Unfortunately,
that.
I won't let them touch it.
Right. Just, that's the thing.
Well, we got to move on.
So, all right. So, but when you do have kids, you could go to youbuynow.com and you could buy toys and action figures and collectibles and prop replicas for them.
You could.
Yeah.
These kids won't want prop replicas.
What if they wanted DC Direct, Marvel Legends, or Master Replicas?
Or actually, what you could do is you can go buy some of the cool DC New Frontier action figures at youbuynow.com, which are awesome, aren't they?
Awesome.
We don't talk about action figures that much, dude. But
so this is my indignation.
I know, yeah, I know.
It wasn't supposed to be.
But so anyway, so go to youbuynow.com. That's youbuynow.com and check it out today. So
get the cool. new Frontier action figures.
Very
really
cool.
Compliment the book quite
Very
nicely.
Cool.
Sweet.
All right.
Smirking Hal Jordan.
We got.
I stare at him all day long on my desk at work. Lovingly. Stroke him.
I just put the Alex Ross Flash and Green Lanterns. I put them on my desk on my computer, like right there. I took them out from the shelves. I figured I need a little inspiration. So anyway,
we inspire you to run fast.
Yes, and have willpower. Okay, so email. So we got a ton of email over the break. We can't get to them all, but these are the ones.
We have a lot of email.
So,
thank you, everybody.
Yes. So our first one comes from Chris, who, speaking of hardcovers, was thinking about getting the Bendis run in Daredevil, and he loves the oversized hardcover, so he started looking around. He found a couple spots on the web that list them, which is pretty cool. But from what he figured out, apparently Daredevil number 16 through 19 is Bendis' first run. So he wants to know, why is it in the Volume 6 hardcover? And for that matter, why doesn't the hardcover runs match the trade paperback runs? For example, the Volume 2 of the hardcover collects issues 26 through 37, and typically a hardcover with Marvel is two trades in one book. And Volume 4 and 5 of trade paperbacks cover issues 26 through 40. So he wants to know why, when you buy the hardcover, you miss three issues of the arc.
Basically, the hardcover goes to 37, where the two trades go to 40.
Exactly. So WTF. And honestly, we don't know. That's a very good question. My
question is, what are in the previous five volumes of Daredevil?
Maybe the Kevin Smith stuff.
Kevin Smith
Gale,
and Bob Gale.
Mac, yeah.
That's only 15 issues.
David Mack, yeah. And I think
three issues per volume?
I think the reason why the Bendis' first run, the first three issues, is because they weren't part of the greater, huger arc that was Legendary. I think they were just an independent arc, so they just tacked them
on. He wasn't going to stay on for
six years. But the thing with this is that I would love to have Bendis' run as an omnibus.
Yeah.
But the problem is that... it's too much, but or they do two volumes, but you just don't know if they're going to do it. And that's my big problem. Like, for example, because I was so inspired by the X-Men on the bus and I wanted the early X-Men issues, I went to look at the Masterworks hardcovers, and this is where I get crazy. My store had the old cover dresses, but the first volume is in the new cover dress. And so now, like, do I wait for them to do the new cover dresses so it looks complete on the shelf? Or it just, they screw you no matter what. It
Who
just
cares?
I do, because I'm crazy.
It doesn't matter.
Really, hardcovers are hard to collect.
You
that's,
buy
that's the
Masterworks?
No, but I'm thinking about it.
Don't,
I want these
you know
issues.
They're going to come out in bigger...
I don't know. I think these omnibuses are risks. I think these omnibuses could be gone, honestly. It's
well, how is it a risk? I mean, like,
to commit
you got
to
the
a
book.
Format. To No. To not buy something to wait for an omnibus is a risk.
Sure, okay.
Because they might never do the omnibus.
That's
what I mean.
Very
that's
true.
What
yes,
I mean.
Okay,
so,
that's true.
Okay, so anyway, so, Chris, we're sorry. We don't know. Hardcovers are very difficult to figure out.
We have all the issues, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, they're in a storage shed somewhere. They could be able to pull them off a shelf in a book.
Those books are so good.
Our next two emails are of a related topic. Our first one comes from Raph, who just read the first issue of Girls by the Luna Brothers on ImageComics.com, and he thought it was really cool. So it was kind of strange, but it looked like it was really interesting. And he wants to know if any of us read it, and if we did we like it? Should he start picking up the trades? He's willing to pick them up if we liked it.
Now, you've been reading this all along.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Luna
Brothers. Apparently you don't have to answer this question.
I don't at all.
And why is that?
Because Cupid wrote in.
The same day.
Cupid, who's from Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, wants to know if we checked out the Luna Brothers comic called Girls. If not, he's giving us his five reasons why you should. So, Raph, here is Cupid's reasons why you should buy the trades for Girls.
Now, these opinions are not necessarily endorsed by iFanboy.com or its subsidiaries.
Strange this came on the same day, by the way.
Yeah. Number one, nude women that have sex with any guy. Yes, they would have sex with Connor, too. Which, ironically, Cupid...
Not his problem.
Exactly. So, you think you're funny, but ironically... He's not the one you should worry about.
you know what we called him in college?
The chick magnet.
The chick magnet. We also called him the captain.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was the captain.
Yeah. So number two, there's a giant killer sperm monster.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Number three, there's a giant tome covering the town of Pennystown.
Or a dome.
A dome. What did I say?
A giant tome.
A giant, it's a big book.
It's an omnibus. It's covering the town.
A giant dome covering the town of Pennytown.
Why is there a dome covering Pennytown?
Nobody knows. That's part of the mystery.
It's Pennystown. That's what he wrote.
Pennystown.
Oh.
This entire town has got a dome covered in that people can't get out. And
I did read the first issue.
Yeah. It's weird. Dude, it's weird.
It's very weird.
So anyway, reason number four.
I've wanted to read it.
Yeah. I'll lend you the issues if you want. Nancy, soccer mom gone mad with an axe. Check out issue
number
20.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. Five, nude women, nude women. And these nude women are killing all the women of Pennystown. Basically, what happens is that there's these naked women who have sex with any guy, and when they do, they spawn other naked women. And the naked women, when they see other like normal women, fucking tear them apart. They kill them. And so the women freak out and start defending themselves. And there's some really... They built one of those pits with the wood spikes, and then the naked women ran after them. Yeah, the naked women ran out and fell on the spikes. It was awesome. It was great.
The Luna Brothers are pretty young, right?
Yeah, I don't know their age.
I've heard interviews with
they're
them.
They're 14.
Didn't they do that book?
Ultra.
I like that
Ultra.
Book.
Yeah,
they're young. They were like 22 when they did that, and they got optioned to be a movie. Because I've read a couple things about them.
I read Ultra in the trade format. It was good.
Yeah. So so thank you, Cupid, for answering Raph's question. And Raph, I like the series. You should check it out.
I've been curious about it for a while. It's
It's worth checking out. Admittedly, it's weird. And there are times. It's the last book I read in my stack, honestly, when I get it. But when I do, I'm always like, I'm glad I got it.
You think it would read better in trade?
Maybe.
Okay.
Only because you can remember what happened.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
It's and then, weird.
Okay.
Finally, Cupid signs off saying he's a strong feeling Iron Man and his team are going to win Civil War.
I think you're wrong.
I don't think there's going to be a resolution anybody's going to be happy with. It's gonna be
we'll find out in Road from Civil War or whatever the next event will be.
Yeah, no. It's going to be fucking 6 months of aftermath.
Anyway.
Okay.
Our last email.
Rob Law.
Rob Law.
Rob Law.
Great name.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blog. Ooh. Hey, guys. Rob Law here. I love the podcast, and the three of you guys are always fun to listen to. Thank you. We are. Basically, he sort of talked about the show Battlestar Galactica and wanted to know if we'd read any of the BSG comics and what we thought. Neither of you guys have.
No, I didn't.
No.
Did you get the quarter one?
No.
Okay.
Licensed property comics are usually not really.
I'm just catching up on the show, so.
This is, Ron is now a convert.
Yeah, I've been up till 2 in the morning every night watching.
He's getting through the first season.
Because I found them on my computer somehow.
Fell off a truck.
They fell off a truck.
Oh, God, this joke is so old.
But it's fantastic.
Anyway,
this is lame.
So you read the comics, though.
And the reason that they got me to read the comics was because they did a promotion where they did issue zero for 25 cents.
Oh, that's smart.
And it was in the middle of no new episodes. And so I was kind of jonesing, and I was like, this isn't bad. The first one came out, and I this isn't so bad. Second one came out, this is all right. Third one, I was like,
it's
I don't
IDW,
like this anymore.
Right? It's IDW.
Oh, no, it's not. It's Dynamite.
Oh, okay.
It's Dynamic Forces. You know what, though? It wasn't bad, and it had the right feeling with everything, but after a while, it just, like, it's not the show, and I don't really know the point, and I didn't really care, and after a while... Yeah.
Those companies, like, are you still buying Lone Ranger?
That's been good.
Oh, has it? Okay.
Yeah.
Those licensed properties, the first, from what I've heard, the first two issues are, like, actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it just tails off from there.
And that's exactly
what
happened.
Well, the Lone Ranger's different. It's not a show. It's actual story.
I avoid licensed properties. Usually exclusively.
Which is
fun. I remember the worst book I've ever bought a licensed property was The Shield. Yeah. I was such a fan of the show.
That's awesome.
And I was watching through the DVDs, and I was really enjoying them. And IDW is pretty successful.
Yeah.
They put out a lot of books, and I think, well, they must be
they
somewhat good. And
one was good, one was good.
And I was like, I was in the middle of Shield fever, and that first issue came out, and I just like, my eyes were wide open, like I could not believe how bad this was.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh.
You know what that is? It's all the money spent acquiring the license.
And then
slap the cover on.
So I read it. It really wasn't horrible, but it's not good enough to keep me going. The TV show's enough for me for now.
So that's on Battlestar Galactica. So if you like it, though, keep buying it. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
Your Rob Law.
It's okay if you really love it. There's a bunch of other series, too, where... You're throwing me off.
Sorry.
Okay.
So if you have a question or want to hear our thoughts of something, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
Here's another IDW books, the CSI books. Sorry. I just knew we had another one sitting here.
Who killed him? Who killed Rich Johnson?
We'll just really quickly, the latest story's been the comic book tie-in, which is who killed Rich Johnston.
From CBR.
From CBR, and all the rape characters were comic characters, and Greg Rucka was the killer.
I can see that.
That's what I said.
Great motivation. He tried to kill Joe Quesada, accidentally got Rich Johnston instead. He tried to kill Joe Quesada because he blamed him for stealing Ed Brubaker, which caused the end of Gotham Central.
Really?
And he was mad about that. And he was jealous that Brubaker could write criminal, and he wasn't allowed to write crime books in DC, so he tried to kill Joe Quesada.
I think it's so funny that the love affair with Gotham Central is so widespread. Like, obviously,
exactly.
Like,
you think it's crazy, for murder.
You
in
can
a comic
see
book.
It on Greg Rucka's face, like when he talked about it, like this summer and stuff like that. It was I feel bad for the people. Anyway, all right. So
best book in DC.
You can. Hey, I've read the Curries, the first two. So you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
Sorry about jumping on the lines there.
All right, so if you were paying attention the past couple weeks, you might notice we haven't played a lot of voicemails recently.
And we just thought no one cared.
Ouch.
We didn't think anybody was calling. Turns out, middle of December, when we did that server change, that kind of screwed up the voicemail system. And we didn't notice until a couple of days ago.
So we're sitting around going, hey, we haven't got a voicemail in a while. I don't know why that was.
And so I looked into it. I opened the hood, and I was like, oh, crap. So I fixed it. We're better. But anybody who called in with a voicemail between December 15th and January 3rd.
And we have a feeling there were a lot.
No, we know there were a lot.
We know there were a lot because I can see the log.
Oh.
And I know who, I have your phone numbers. and I know how long you talked for. We just don't know what you said. So if you want to call back.
There were like two a day.
Please go ahead. Like we feel bad. Yeah, we average about 2 to 3 a day, which is.
It's not that we didn't care.
Over the holidays. I mean, normally we average more, you know, like, but like over the holidays.
There was a lot for the holidays.
So if you called in and wished us a Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa.
If you called that time, call back.
Yeah,
and if you remember what you said,
yeah,
we're sorry.
We're very sorry. So mea culpa, mea culpa.
We felt dumb.
Very dumb.
Mostly, we blame Ron for being dumb.
That's totally my fault. I take the blame. I'm one man. So, luckily, we did notice in time to get a couple of voicemails for this week, and our first one comes from my hometown.
Hey, this is Chris from Long Island. I'm one of the lone teenage comic book readers, I think. I'm 17, so I'm in high school. So, Mr. Brubaker, everybody's favorite writer, mine too. He's awesome. I had a question. I think he left DC Comics because of all the Infinity Crisis thing, and his books are heavily going to be influenced because of Civil War. They said in like one of the solicits that Daredevil's going to be affected by it, at the next arc's going to be that, and Captain America's definitely affected by that. So I want your opinion on that. Thanks. Bye.
It's good that there's kids still reading comics.
Long Island represent, yo.
They probably shouldn't listen to us.
No. Yes, they should. Chris, what town are you from? Where do you buy your comics?
Fuck, shit. Sorry.
I was like, oh my God, Josh just had Tourette's. No, but Long Island, yay.
Or a seizure.
On to your question. I don't know why Brubaker left DC for Marvel.
I'm going to guess it had something to do with a bag of cash.
They handed him an exclusive contract too. He left before way before the.
I think it's convenient to think he left because he didn't want to deal with the crossover stuff, but I don't think that's the case. And so, I mean, that's a little.
I mean, basically at that point, they needed somebody to A, do Daredevil.
Yeah.
B, Marvel, especially around con time, is always trying to. Both of them are trying to do exclusive deals constantly.
So they can announce them at the con. Yeah.
And also, Ed Brubaker is a guy you want just working for you.
But he does bring up a good point that, and we pointed out on the podcast, that Captain America and Daredevil have been largely untouched by Civil War, and yet is it? Can you believe that they won't be? And the solicits do say that he will be affected by Civil War. So those books with Captain America and Daredevil. So
I don't think it's much of a stretch on Daredevil because Daredevil's always been just the guy on the outside. He always has. So even if he's a little mistrusting of everybody, it's not going
to
be any different.
Captain America is going to have to feel some effect from it.
Going to have to.
But you can't imagine he's been. We're making him have to be adamant. Like, I don't want to touch your Civil War, and he's got to be somewhat of a team player. I mean, he's got
not really. His Captain America. I mean, you're not at that point, but it's
he
not...
wrote this Winter Soldier book though.
Yeah, but it really had nothing much to do with Civil War.
No, by the way, Winter Soldier.
Was it good?
That was my last week's pick of the week.
Yeah, mine too, yeah.
Like Winter Soldier. You would have seen it all over the site if you went there. Yeah. It was just...
Anyway.
I don't
sorry.
It's Captain America barely has the toe in the Civil War water.
Yeah.
Only because he can't.
Which is ironic because he's in the middle of...
He's the main character.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing they don't have is a lot of continuity. Ba-da-ba!
And the great thing is the books that have been Civil War have starred Bucky and Nick Fury and Agent Carter, but not Captain America.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll see.
I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens. Yeah. Now that I've been reading Captain America, I'm really excited. Although, that's a book I think I might stick with the trades because it
reads really
so
well
like that.
Yeah. Oh, so. All right, cool. Thanks for the voicemail, Chris. And then now it wouldn't be a good new year without checking in from our good friend.
He's early.
This is Daryl stalking through the streets of New York. And Superman Returns was overrated in a whack film. X-Men 3 was a much better film. It was more fun. And Snakes on a Plane was the best film in 2006. I'm out.
He's more talented than we are. I assume he's talking about some of the conversation on iFanboy.com about the year-end movies and stuff like that.
It was in the podcast.
Oh, right, yeah, it was last week's podcast. Yeah, it was so long ago, I forgot.
Good, X-Men 3, bad.
First of all, it wasn't overrated. No one liked it but us.
Well, I don't know where he's coming from with the snakes on a plane. That's just out of left field. Daryl, we love you. So, if you want to call...
Keep him happy, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
If you want to leave us a voicemail now that it's fixed, you can call 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697. And we'd love to hear from you and hear about you stalking through the streets of your city.
Or if you're stalking through other streets.
Yeah, that's fine.
Stalk away. Let us know.
I pictured Daryl in...
It's best not to picture
him.
Yeah,
it's true.
You're going to be picturing him at the foot of your bed at night when you wake up in the morning.
Like Bob.
You can also go to the Frapper map. Frapper.com/iFanboy, FRAPPR. You can stick your pin in the map, tell us where you're from, say hello. We are at about 613 pins.
Which is more than I ever thought we'd ever get.
It's a lot of pins. So go over there. There's a lot more of you out there. Frapper.com. You can also go to our main page at iFanboy. There's a link at the top right corner. Click there. It takes you right to the map.
Cool. You could also, if you were so inclined, use one of the many social networking sites on the web. You go to myspace.com/iFanboy. Which we make fun of, but we do have fun reading and seeing all the people.
MySpace, actually, I think we're warming up to MySpace.
Yeah, I just wish it moved a little faster.
And if you go to myspace.com/iFanboy, you might see some surprising people in our top friends list soon, like our own profiles.
Yeah. maybe we'll do that.
Maybe
it's time to be iFanboy's friend if we're actually in iFanboy.
Exactly.
Anyway, the other thing you can do, which is a nice, clean, fast site, but does exactly the same thing, is comicspace.com/iFanboy.com.
That's a typo.
Okay, sorry. myspace.com/iFanboy.
.com.
.org.
Right. comicspace.com/iFanboy.
.net.
Sometimes when you type it, it just mechanical memory happens. And I just type iFanboy.com.
Anyway, you can go there and be our friend. And we'd appreciate it because a lot of comic folks are hanging out on there. And it moves nice and fast and it's clean. And you can look at a bunch of guys' pages too. It's fine. Yeah.
And if you are, you know, if you're so inclined as well, you can go to dig.com, and they've got a really cool new podcast section. You need to be a member of Dig in order to get into it because it's still in a beta. But go to
it's a free membership, and exactly. They will not email you solicitations you do not ask for.
Exactly. And Dig is really cool. We like the site.
We did dig. That was awful.
If you guys,
it was coming, and I'm like, don't say it. And it was, came out anyway.
If you go to dig.com, then go on podcast and search for iFanboy or search for comic book or comic books or whatever. We should come up. We are right now the highest rated comic book podcast, which is pretty cool. And we'd like to climb the charts.
Don't let Scott Hines hear you say that.
I know. And represent.
We're gunning for Suicide Girls.
Yes, exactly. We've got you in our sights.
For
girls.
Many reasons.
They can stay
wherever they want.
You know what? The Suicide Girls, they can stay on top of me anytime. That was worse.
That was fantastic. Fantastic.
Thank you.
That was awesome. So go to dig.com and dig the podcast.
If you dig us too, you can vote for us at podcastalley.com or go to iTunes. We love seeing reviews. Good reviews, bad reviews. We like them all. We'll take any review.
I don't like bad reviews.
Josh doesn't like bad reviews.
And and tell your friends about the site. And also
Comic Store.
Go to Comic Store, tell that. Tell your mom. But also if you like this, if you listen to the podcast and you haven't checked out ifanboy.com, check it out. It's a pretty cool site. We've got some good discussion going on, people talking about what they liked this week, what they didn't like this week, why they disagree with us. And it's a fun place to see what everybody's talking about.
And if there's stories you want to talk about, you can either post them on there in the thread, or you can send us stuff, news stories and things that you want
to
talk about.
To contact@ifanboy.com.
Yes.
But most importantly, 2007 is beginning, and we're starting to plan our year, and we've said, you know, we got a couple surprises coming your way, and stay tuned. Some stuff's coming this month, and ifanboy 3.0 is coming out soon. Most importantly, we're starting to plan our con travel.
Yes. Last year we hit San Diego.
We hit San Diego.
Hard.
New York. Yeah, hard.
Smacked the hell out of
New
me,
York,
too.
And that was it.
New York, and that was it. I was at New York alone, and we all hit San Diego.
So we believe there are some other cons in the country that people would like us to attend.
That's a nice way of framing it.
Yeah. And we want to attend them as well. And how can you help us attend it?
You could go to ifanboy.com/donations. You notice this asking for stuff part gets longer every week?
I know it does. So we got to stop so bad. So if you go to ifanboy.com/donations, you can donate to us via PayPal, and you can use a check or credit card or your PayPal account.
But there's definitely some cons that we are looking at.
Charlotte, North
year.
Carolina.
Anyone like some heroes?
We hear something about Heroes Con being a good con that we'd like to attend.
And it's not so far.
So help us get there.
Yeah, we want to try to do that. But yeah. Also, you know, we got to... We got to go to the other cons. We got to be able to get in, do the stuff. Even New York, it's got expenses.
So we're going to keep you posted on our con travel, our con schedule. So if you go to ifanboy.com, keep a lookout for that. And so if you live in a town where there's a con going on, hopefully we can make it. We can hang out, and it'll be fun. So
because we'd like to meet people.
Yeah. All right. I got to stop shilling because it hurts.
Yeah, it does.
So thanks for listening this week, and we'll talk to you next week. And until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh. And no one's gotten us mixed up in a long time.
No witty response either.
Guten Tag. Rammstein.